Let's open our Bibles to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 8. And we're going to start with our Bible story, and then we're going to tie it into today. And we just pray, Lord, that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit's saying. Lord, help us discern the times we're in. Show us the things that we need to know and the dots that we need to connect. And we thank you, Father, for your word that's our instruction, it's our life, it's our guide. Help us not add to or take away from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 8. And we're going to talk about, some things that Ezekiel saw here through the hole in the wall. And we're also going to go into a little hole in the wall and see what's going on in our world today. Everything that God's put in his word is for not just yesterday, but it's also kind of showing us some things. And today we're going to see the corruption behind the wall. In Ezekiel chapter 8, we see that the Lord took Ezekiel in a vision and he showed him the sins of the spiritual leaders of the day and their secret lives. And people think that they can do things in secret behind walls that God doesn't see, but God sees it all. And he chose to show Ezekiel that there were 70 elders of the house of Israel. They had gathered in secret to offer incense to Baal or to Satan. Influenced men, these were respectable men, high religious leaders, that had taken over the temple of the one true God and used it secretly to practice their wicked abominations. So that's kind of a little intro here. So let's look at verse 5. And again, go through this whole thing on your own. We're just going to hit some highlights. But the Lord's showing Ezekiel, he's telling him to go. In verse 7. But he's talking about the abominations of the house of Israel. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I had looked, behold, a hole in the wall. It was almost like a peephole. He could see right through. And he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. Now remember, this was supposed to be a holy place. So if the holy places were corrupt, guess what other things were corrupt? So I went in and saw, behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall. Think about that, of all the murals and all that stuff that people see nowadays, that these images that are on this wall, roundabout, portrayed upon the wall. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancient house of Israel. In the midst of them, goes on and on, they had a censer in their hand. Verse 12, and we said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery, for they say, The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath not forsaken the earth. They have no fear of the Lord. When you fear the Lord, you know he's seeing everything. He sees all of it. But for some reason, when people do things behind a wall or in a secret place, they think they're getting away with things. But here, God's showing us he sees beyond the wall, right? So he says, you're going to see other things, and I'm not going to go into all these things, but they are in verse 14, weeping for Tammuz. And what was that? That was the god of fertility. So they weren't praying and believing God to get pregnant. These women were calling on idols and other gods of fertility and other things. And God saw, and it said it was a great abomination. And then it talks about how their faces were towards the east and they worshiped the sun god. If you don't know anything about some of the other religions, there's a huge thing about the worship of sun gods, which we're not also going to get into. But Paul tells us that as the end time approaches, evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. I'd say they're pretty bad here. They're pretty bad right here. So if they're going to get worse, can you imagine what else is going to happen? And God wants us to know that these things are here. And many of us, because you're not corrupt and you do things right and you're, you know, you want to do things, you can't even imagine the corruption. And so that's why God puts these things in the Bible so that we will see things are done in secret. things are done that are abominations to him. So Paul tells us they're going to wax worse and worse, and then he tells us grievous wolves are going to enter in, right in. We're going to be infiltrated inside, not just outside, but on the inside. Satan is at war against mankind, and he's using his servants, his human servants, to assist him here on earth. So how come there's so much corruption? The way people yield to God, there's other people that yield to the devil. Mm-hmm. So corruption comes. Organized evil, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Organized evil is a reality in our world today and hides behind respectable people and seemingly well-meaning organizations. We're going to talk in a second about the goals of Marxism Party that were read actually into congressional record on January 10th, 1963. We're not going to get all of that. I have shared that before. But there's a couple things that will come to light today that made no sense even a year ago that now are going to, a dot is going to connect. Because God is going to open up today, I believe, the hole in the wall so we can see what's going on in our world, what we need to prepare for. Ezekiel saw the corruption of the religious leaders. Ezekiel was a watchman. And what do watchmen do? They see, they hear, and they obey. They listen. And why did he have to see this? He had to see it because God wanted him to warn the wicked. Just think of that. Even though they won't listen, and some of you get discouraged because you try to tell people what's kind of going on, even if they don't listen, the fact God tells you, he wants you to do it. He wants you to sow a seed. He wants you to say it because when the day comes before him, they're going to stand before God and he's going to say, I sent him to you and you didn't listen. I gave you opportunities, but you didn't listen. So here he's giving the opportunity to the wicked to repent of their evil ways. So Ezekiel had to warn the wicked because of their sins. And we've learned we can't follow men, organizations and methods because it can lead into danger. And Jesus said he knew what was in man. So what do? We have to keep our eyes on the Lord, put all of our favorite religious leaders on the altar. God can use them for truth, but if he wants to expose some of the things, you're not going to be shaken because you have your faith in the Lord and not just on the systems of men. Because a lot of things are going to come out in the shaking. And he doesn't want us to be shaken. He wants us to be solid rock in him, right? Faith in him. So following men and their methods and their movements can be very, very dangerous. And when a wave comes in, it's very popular, beware. Masses always go the way of deception. The way is very narrow. So the harlot, the counterfeit church, is preparing the way for the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist isn't just going to show up, the counterfeit. Isn't going to show up. There's got to be preparation. There's got to be steps. So it just doesn't happen overnight. And we're seeing some major steps being taken place. A lot of chaos. If there was one word that we could describe our world today is chaos. Disorganization. Things are changing. Things are happening that have never happened before. Is the harlot being prepared? I believe so. Watchmen are often treated like Ezekiel and Jeremiah, with disrespect. They're not listened to because they see so far out. When you see a storm coming and you're in the sunshine, you don't want to hear a storm is coming. You want to enjoy the sunshine. Shut that guy off or shut that person off. But we need to learn to listen to the Ezekiels and the Jeremiahs that are warning of the things that are coming. Because God wants us to be prepared and know that this is not our home. We're just passing through this life, right? So that's why he's got all these things in the Bible. Matthew 24 talks about lawlessness. We're seeing some of that happen today. So in Jeremiah 5:26, I just want to give you a couple scriptures. For among my people, not the evil people, but among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait. As he that setteth snares, they set a trap and they catch men. Jeremiah 5:26. So we see that there are tares among the wheat. But we see through that hole that Ezekiel saw, we saw wickedness. It was all covered up. So On the outside, it looked like these were respectable people. They looked like wonderful men in high positions, but God knows what they're doing in those secret places. Now, Satan's offer, he's always tried to get people to sell their soul for the things of this world. And what does Jesus say? He said, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his own soul?" Matthew 8:36. Satan even tried to get Jesus to accept his offer when he took him on that high mountain, remember? Show him all the kingdoms of the world. Well, today I want to quote something from David Rockefeller. He said, "We're on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis. Do you think we found a major crisis? And the nations." Now, we're talking about the nations, not just the United States. We're talking about nations. And he said, "We are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the New World Order. Their agendas right now are on warp speed. There are many, many things happening on many, many fronts, and we're just going to look at a couple of them this morning. Again, the goals of Marxism, the one I want to share today, well, of course, they're undermining the family, undermining Christianity, but one of them was control key professions. Capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, motion pictures. But this is the one I want to focus on. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from police to social agencies. This has been a plan. This is an agenda. We're looking through the hole. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Guess what? This is an agenda. Okay, so let's look. A couple of things we talked about last week about the Hegelian dialectic, staged events, order out of chaos. And I want to kind of go through this in a couple of different ways. Even though we talked about it last week, we have to understand how the game is played. And guess what? There's a game within the game. There's a game within the game. We have to know we're in corruption. It was bad in Ezekiel's day. Guess what? It's a lot worse now and more deceptive. And that's why God doesn't want us to be deceived, but he wants to know who the enemy is and who he's using so that we're not caught off guard and that we also help people. People are going to need you to be in truth so that you can help them, because chaos is coming. It's here. We're in the beginning of chaos. But you, when you know what the game is and you know how the game is played, you're not confused. Even though there's going to be chaos and all these things are happening, you can bring them back to, did you know that this is one of the agendas is to defund the police? Do you know that this has been a plan for a long, long time? Okay, so the staged events are order out of chaos because there is a game within the game. You have to know what you think is just a game, what you think is a war. There's a war within the war. And that's kind of the matrix we're living in. If you're just connected to the blue pill, you're only in one part of the war. But if you're a truth teller and you're listening and hearing from God, I always call it, you know, the red pill, reality. You see what really is happening, not what they're telling you is happening, but you are alive to what's really happening because you're listening to the Lord and the Holy Spirit is showing you things and he's teaching us and he's letting us know there is an Antichrist system arising. There is a harlot church that's being prepared, and we're in for what? A lot of chaos, a lot of destruction. And out of their chaos that they create, they bring order. They bring in their own rules that they wanted a long time ago to bring us more and more under their control and under their manipulation. So the puppet masters create disorder so the people will demand order. Talk about manipulation. One thing I guess why I'm so upset is I don't like deception and I don't like people that deceive people. Especially when we've come out of some of these deceptions in our churches, to know that it's not just in the church but it's other places. You have to pray that God doesn't, that God opens your eyes and you're not deceived in these end times, because as corrupt as the churches are, there's other things that are corrupt as well. And today we're going to take a huge step into looking into the whole and seeing some of this corruption. So they create this disorder, or in order to get order, the price of order always entails a handing over of control and loss of freedom on the part of the citizens. And out of chaos comes order, their order, or the New World Order. Now, we've been under the New World Order for a long time. This isn't just happened right now. It's been a process. But to bring in the new order, as they do, they take out the old. They replace the old, a bite at a time. It doesn't seem like a bite right now. It seems like lots of bites. But usually they take out and then they put in their new. They bring in the new way of running the world. The trick of creating chaos, and then seizing power under the pretense of putting things back in order is a tried and true method of deception and manipulation. God doesn't want us to be deceived. They want to change our realities. They did that in our churches. You say you're healed and you're not. They want to change your realities. They want to pretend, you have to pretend you're really not fighting sickness. You're healed and you don't, you know, you're sick, but you're not sick because your faith says you're healed. So this deception is in the churches, but it's also other places, which we're going to see, deception and manipulation. God hates it when people, especially rulers and especially people we put in places we think are good, and they deceive his people. It's also referred to as a Hegelian dialectic or dialect. And it was after the scientist, the philosopher, George Hegel, who wrote about its effectiveness. He described it, we talked about this last week, thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. Others have described it as problem, reaction, solution. In that firstly, you create the problem. Then secondly, you fan the flames to get a reaction, which is fear, anger. Then thirdly, like Johnny on the spot, you provide a solution. The solution is what you were wanting to achieve in the first place, but wouldn't have been able to achieve under normal circumstances. The Orwell described it as reality control, or reshape reality. Chaos was required, and chaos was created. That's how the game works. Unfortunately, we didn't make this game. We were born into this game. But we might as well figure out how it works, because a lot of people are not going to tell you how this works. That's why we have to do our own research. Now, the Hegelian dialectic thinking, it's Marxism, the political left and right are pitted against each other for what? Global outcomes and controlled conflict. This is the way they get power, and this is how they keep it. It's a socialistic ideology inspired by Karl Marx. In the Hegelian system, conflict is essential. As order comes through guided conflicts or chaos, just one of their logos is the chessboard, the black and white squares. It symbolizes control, having two different or opposite parts, dualism, in the game of life. An example, some of our movies, Hunger Games, you had the resistance, which was the controlled opposition, actually being covertly serving it, being funded by it, infiltration, or being a plant, kind of like all the 007 movies. He always fell in love with a double agent Russian spy, it seems like, right? What was that? It was a game within a game. So the goal, what is the goal of all this? Order through guided conflicts or chaos. To keep control using madness and fear tactics. Now, this is a quote. You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that is an opportunity to do things you could not do before. So what do? You engineer a crisis to fit your goals. This is their dialectic. This is a summary of how they work. Control the masses through deliberately creating division. Or trigger a crisis, a problem that causes the people to react with fear and demand a solution. And they found through years of studying people that people are very easy to manipulate if they're afraid. You can get them to do whatever you want if they're afraid. The world appears divided and chaotic because it has been made that way. Order out of chaos. Now, what does it do, and why would they do it, and why would they play this game? It provides distraction. and cover for the wicked plot and other plans. Now remember, we talked about the wicked. Throughout the Bible, the whole thing talks about the wicked against the righteous. And they have their plans. They have their agendas. What do they want? They want what Lucifer wants is world domination. He wants to be like the Most High God. And he's got plans. And the problem with our churches, we were deceived into thinking there wasn't a devil. He was under our feet and he really wasn't going to bother us because we were so powerful. So we all got deceived thinking that we had so much power. We just had to confess and the devil would go away. We could just bind him and he'd be gone. Unfortunately, many people haven't read the book of Revelations, that he's still doing a corrupt work. Well, we were all put to sleep. So first it provides a distraction. And sometimes you wonder, what are they really doing behind the scenes when there's this distraction? They love to distract. And the second, it provides a scapegoat for the masses who are now divided against each other. A kingdom divided against itself can't stand. So what does the devil do? Always divide to get you. How many people are mad at each other, even in families right now, because everyone has a different opinion? We can't play into that game. So you have a different opinion, doesn't matter. I'm not going to cut my fellowship off because we disagree. That's just part of the enemy's plan. Divide and conquer in every area of life. Not problem, reaction, solution. Order out of chaos. The system they always wanted. Laws are passed that could never have been passed without this chaos. So they create the chaos to put the laws that they wanted in place that under normal conditions, people would uprise. They would say, there's no way we want this. So they create it so that you'll want it. Divide and conquer. You have to think of how the enemy works. He works through divide and conquer. The order has reigned through deception, and the agenda is now accomplished. Now they want to combine the world's governments, religions, money, etc. They create the problem, get the reaction, provide the solution. What's the reaction? Fear. Everyone's afraid. They're mad. They have to do this or that. Wait till we close on the end of this. Stay with me till the end of this because you're going to see what we're living in right now and where it's coming from. So create the problem, get the reaction, provide the solution. Of course, it's for your safety. Of course, it's for your security. Now we're going to have contact tracing, surveillance. Of course, it's for your safety. It's for your security. As more and more, look on the Economist cover of 2020, where they had man being controlled. Everything was controlled. I won't even go into all that, but for your security now and your safety. So in the Hegel situation, he was a political and social scientist at the University of Berlin, from 1817 to 1831. He stated, this is his whole thesis and plan, agenda. He said, history can be shaped and ultimate peace can come only through controlled conflict between opposing forces. So, I want to close with this part of it. A lot of leaders are being influenced. Here again, we're looking through the hole in the wall by a Marxist book, Rules for Radicals. As we know, a lot of our past leaders have been underneath this. Saul Alinsky, who died in 1972, but he was a Marxist, and he wasn't the one that founded all these things, but he passed them down. And we're just going to look and see how this relates to us today, okay? And this book, his book, Rules for Radicals, and I'm going to quote some of the pages of things that he is telling, and we're going to see why radicals are just rising up in our country today. Saul Alinsky detailed the need to penetrate the middle class and reorganize from within. Alinsky articulated tactics for infiltrating every conceivable social institution, including churches. Alinsky's worldview was that mankind is divided into three parts, the haves, the have-nots, and the have-a-little, want-mores. His purpose was to teach the have-nots how to take power and money away from the haves by creating mass organizations to seize power. And he admitted this means revolution. Have we been hearing a lot about revolution? He wanted a radical change of America's social and economic structure, and he planned to achieve that through creating public discontent and moral confusion. Alinsky developed strategies to achieve power through mass, get this, organizations. Mass organizations. A lot of times we thought these organizations were good. Well, not if they're infiltrated. They're not good. Just like the Ezekiel saw in the hole in the wall, he saw something that was supposed to be good, but it had a secret plot. It had a hidden agenda. And God calls it an abomination, right? Wait, just wait. We're just getting started. He wanted to move the United States from capitalism to guess what?
Socialism.
Are we seeing that today? Change was Alinsky's favorite word, used on page after page. Change. Class envy, race baiting, anti-Christian bigotry, and redistribution of wealth describe the change for which Alinsky was calling for. Yet Scripture warns of the wrong kinds of change. He shall speak of words, pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High and shall intend to change times and laws. Daniel 9:25. The Antichrist and his system is going to change the times and the laws. So we see here that he's speaking against the Most High. He's coming against God. And one of his quotes from his book, right here, it says, "Lest we forget at least an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to the very first radical." Now remember, he's for radical change, radical. The very first radical from our legends, mythology, and history, the first radical known to man who rebelled against the establishment and did it so effectively that he at least won his own kingdom. Guess who he is acknowledging here? Lucifer. So right here we see this system being put into place. We are in a spiritual battle, and the price is hearts and minds. Alinsky's worldview. A couple excerpts from his book right now, Rules for Radicals. The revolution is to end capitalism. Then into third stage, we're going to go in, this is on page 10. He wants to bring in, ultimately, communism. An organizer, now we see so many things today are organized. You cannot have these marches, you cannot have these riots, these protests without heavy organization. It doesn't just happen. Go try to start one. Go try to start one and let's go get skinny moms if grandmas were fat. Just try to figure, you're going to go start a, you might get five people. How do these people end up with thousands? More than that, okay? An organizer, and I want you to listen to this word organizer because he uses this a lot in his writings, and we're going to see this being played out right before us behind the walls today. An organizer working in and for an open society is he does not have a fixed truth. Truth to him is relative and changing. So it doesn't matter if they lie. It doesn't matter if they change facts. It doesn't matter if they deceive the public. Because to them, truth is changing. It's relative to anything that is relative and changing. This is on page 10 and 11. Be free from the shackles of dogma. He can respond to the realities of widely different situations. So if you don't have an anchor of truth, but you have an agenda to push, see the confusion? A couple more pages. Can you handle it? From the moment the organizer enters a community, he lives, he dreams only one thing, and that is to build a mass power base to what he calls the army. This is one thing I've been noticing. Everything's militant now. It's called the force. This force, the workforce, everything is a force. So they want an army. Every move revolves around one central point. How many recruits will this bring into the organization, whether by means of local organizations, churches, service groups, labor unions, corner gangs, let me say that again, corner gangs, as we're seeing in Seattle and Oregon right now, or as individuals. Change comes from power and power comes from organization. Page 113. Now page 116, I just want you to know I'm quoting this. The first step in community organization is community disorganization. The first step in community organization is community disorganization. The disruption of the present organization is the first step towards community organization. Present arrangements must be disorganized if they are to be displaced by new patterns. All change means disorganization of the old. Are you hearing this more and more? Get rid of the old and bring in the new. The organization of the new. All organizers must stir up. Listen to this. This is talk about radical change, and this is what we're entering into now. An organizer must stir up dissatisfaction and discontent. Just turn on your TV and you hear these speakers just trying to get everybody mad and trying to get them all agitated and trying to get them upset. All by design. The game within the game. When those prominent in the status quo turn and label you an agitator, they are completely correct. For that is, in one word, your function, to agitate to the point of conflict. Page 117. I'm going to read that again. When those prominent in the status quo turn and label you an agitator, they are completely correct. For that is, in one word, that's your function, to create and agitate to the point of conflict. Alinsky has influenced many of our nation's leaders. Nation's leaders, okay? And now you can see where they desire to take our nation to become a socialistic state. You never used to hear about the rules of the state. Now you go to a restaurant and they'll say, because of the laws of the state. Have you noticed that? You've been picking up, you're hearing a lot more about the state. These rulers are calling for a protest movement. Protest movement, marches, rallies, to put extreme pressure on politicians to create new benefits. Everything is changing. Just a couple more things. This community organizer, according to Alinsky, an organizer is, in the true sense, reaching for the highest level for which man can reach. To create, to be a creator, to play God. Goes back into that whole New Apostolic Reformation. Now the Hegelian, what we talked about earlier, organization, this is what they want. They just said, well, liberals just protest, but radicals rebel. Liberals become indignant, but radicals become fighting, mad, and go into action. Radicals give themselves to the cause. Radicals give and take the hard, dirty, bitter way of life. It's the radicals that will bring about the ultimate goal. For Saul Alinsky, that goal is communism. As did Marx, Alinsky understood the techniques of the Hegel's dialectic for community organizing. Remember, problem, reaction, solution, order out of chaos. They understood this technique for community organizing. Alinsky's version is to create conflict, and become an agitator. The organizer is constantly creating new out of the old. He knows that all new ideas arise from conflict. An organizer must stir up dissatisfaction and discontentment. The status quo turn and label you an agitator, and they are completely correct. For that is, in one word, your function, to agitate to the point of conflict. Alinsky is clear that he and his kind must crush the opposition bit by bit. And that is, I think that's the end. Two more lines. They are leftists dedicated to overthrowing our constitutional system. They will go to any length to conceal their radicalism from the public. Here it is. We're looking behind the wall. We're looking into it. We're starting to dig. The rabbit hole goes very, very deep with this corruption. And they're trying to hide it under something very good is going to happen, some good changes. And I'm not saying there are some changes that are not needed. But the whole plan is going to be way far more than what these people have a clue of what's really going to happen. Some experts believe America is experiencing the revolution called for by Saul Alinsky today. Some heavy-duty stuff, isn't it? Who would have ever thought we just saw riots and all these things, these good, innocent people thinking they want change, but the agitators are in the midst, agitating, burning things down, causing things, and we're just in the beginning of this chaos. A lot of us think, oh, it's going to be over. Just because it is an election year, there's always chaos, but nothing like what we've seen. Even the last 4 years, there was chaos. But can you imagine what's going to happen as we get towards September, October, November? What's going to continue? We need to keep praying. And it's the church that's the obstacle that stands in the way of this. It's the praying believers. That's why they want them out of the way, shut down, silenced. Because if a believer is on their knees praying and asking God, things can be pushed back. That's what I believe. Things have been pushed back. But now Christians have lost their churches. They've lost their fellowship. They're very discouraged in this hour. A lot of them are backsliding, going into the world. Don't let the world shake you into its mold. Don't be conformed to this world. Amen? Amen. These things have to happen. There's a great delusion. And God doesn't want us to be deceived. Just like he showed Ezekiel, he saw through that hole and he saw the wickedness. You're going to see wickedness, but it doesn't mean you should be shaken. Amen. Father, we thank you for showing us these things, the game within the game, so we're not deceived, we're not taken advantage of, we're not manipulated. Father, help us that they don't shape our reality and tell us what to believe and what to think. But you've given us common sense and a brain and all this confusion they're trying to bring on us. Father, we thank you. With your help, we'll rise above it. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right-hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.
Apart from you, we can do nothing, so we depend.